Alex once again with another installment in the EOT Newsflash Ixalan Limited Set Review. This is part two, the black and the red cards, the vampires, the goblins, the kill spells, the burn spells, the fun stuff. As always, we're going to do this on a four-point scale, ones being the cards you should never, ever play, twos being the cards that are going to be mostly what's going to fill your deck, your general filler, nothing great but nothing fancy either, the bread and the meat and potatoes, if you will, of your decks. Threes are your premium creatures, spells, and removal, and the fours are the absolute bombs. You open a planeswalker and go, hey, all right, we're playing this color, and it pulls you in real, real deep. And we also have two secondary categories. We have the Bs for build around, so things that you play in draft that require a very specific strategy to be played around them to make them actually function. And then S for sideboard cards, cards that you wouldn't bring in unless your opponent has something like, oh, I don't know, a legendary land, or maybe an enchantment, or something that they need to get rid of but wouldn't normally be able to because, you know, you just don't have the removal for it, and it's not worth main decking. So we're going to jump right into it with our first black card. This is Anointed Deacon. Four and a black gets you a vampire cleric at common. It's 3/3. At the beginning of your turn, you may have, or combat on your turn, you may have target vampire get +2/+0 until the end of turn. Now, this is a hill giant already. Four mana 3/3s are already good. But getting vampires you control a bonus, that's pretty insane. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, have flying, menace, lifelink. A lot of them just have extra abilities that make that +2/+0 bonus. The ones that have first strike, holy crap, this thing can get dangerous and out of control. It can just give itself, itself a bonus. So you're already attacking as a 5/3. That's insane. As it stands, though, it's just pretty decent filler. 2.25 for me. If the vampire deck is better than I think it is, and we're going to dig into the actual color pairings and the archetypes this week on the main show and really talk about just how good these archetypes are, I'm not convinced of the vampires just yet, but I think this one is going to be a key part in it, especially trying to beat through those last few points of damage. Pretty solid card. Now, we have to immediately go to the double-faced cards, because Watsy, you know, can't put all of them on the same page, but whatever. So, our next black card is some vampire, his Bloodfast. One in a black gets you a legendary enchantment at rare that you can pay one in a black to pay two life and draw a card. So it's greed on it. It's a greed effect. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have five or less life, you may transform Arguelle's Bloodfast, and it turns into the Temple of Aklazots. Sure. Taps for a black, or you can tap it and sacrifice a creature. You gain life equal to that sacrificed creature's toughness. And there's also reference to a bat god on this. So I don't know if you guys are Batman fans out there. I know I am. We're right in the middle of the Dark Knight's Metal story, and there's an actual bat god. Our Barbados is in the shadows that's hunting down the Justice League as he unleashes the Batman. Anyway, I digress. To me, this is definitely a build around me card. And it might not actually be the case. This is a really powerful card. Consistent card draw limit is very, very powerful. And as long as you have the ability to gain the life back, which this does give you, I can see this being insanely powerful, especially if you have some creatures that have a little bit of extra toughness to make up for the life loss that you're going to be doing to yourself over the couple of turns. At first glance, I want to build around this and have a very life gain heavy deck. This might just be really playable in general, might be worth a 2.5. I really don't know what to make of this card just yet because it's so unique. All of these flip enchantments are very unique in this case. And so I'm reserving judgment until I get to see this in action or play with it myself. But this does feel powerful. All of these legendary enchantments that turn into legendary lands all feel very, very powerful. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt and say this is playable, but until then, it's a builder on me for sure. Now, back to the black cards proper. Next up, we have Bishop of the Bloodstained. Three black gets you a vampire cleric at uncommon. It's a 3/3. And when it enters the battlefield, target opponent loses one life for each vampire you control. Great Merchant of Asphodel, this is not, but it's pretty damn close. If there is a vampire deck in standard, you can be sure that this is going to be at the head of it. But I definitely say you want to draft this bad boy and maybe take this first and then pile on the vampires. You might not have the synergy necessary for it in sealed, but if you do, go for it. 2.5 for me, like this is a potential black fireball that will just wipe your opponent out. And I think that's really, really cool. I like this guy a lot for the potential here. Next up, we have Blight Keeper. A single black mana gets you a common bat imp. It's a 1/1 that flies, and you pay 7 and a black, tap it, sacrifice Blight Keeper, and target opponent loses 4 life, and you gain 4 life. This is part of that 1 mana cycle that has a stupidly restrictive activated mana cost that does something kind of mediocre. And I'm not impressed by this guy either. 1 mana flyers that have really no other upside are really bad. Now, if you're like in a longer game control deck and you want to activate this, I could see you maybe making an excuse for playing this. But as it stands, this is a 1.5 for me. I could see this going even lower than that. I'm really not impressed by these 1 mana guys so far. Next up, we've got the Blood Crazed Paladin. 1 in a black gets you a rare Vampire Knight. It's a 1/1. This thing has flash? Holy shit, this thing's good. I missed the flash part when I first read this card. It enters the battlefield with +1/+1 counters equal to the number of creatures that died this turn. And the lore here is that these vampires go on this blood fast. They don't hunt, they don't kill for a very long time, and then when they finally do give into that madness, it's explosive. And so that's very well captured in this card here, and I love the art. I love the blood on the dinosaurs that this thing has killed. It's absolutely gruesome. I love it a lot. I don't know where to put this thing. In limited, it's iffy. I really don't know. If you can, you know, finagle your way into a massive board wipe somehow, you just take out a ton of creatures and trade off a ton of things and then play this thing and it's like a 6/6, yeah, I can get behind it. It's probably better in standard, though, if there is a vampire deck and you can play, you know, some Death Touchers or some Wraths of some sort. Bantu's Last Reckoning, for instance, you know, is cheap enough to make this thing possibly playable. I don't know. It's a 2 or a 3. It's somewhere in there, and I really can't tell you where. But if you can, you know, even get 2 counters on it, you've already gotten your value out of it. So it's pretty damn good. I'm going to settle on a 2/5, and it might be better than that. But this is one to be on the lookout for. If your opponent's holding up mana at the end of their turn and they're in black, be careful of this thing coming down because it could just get you. Next up, we've got Boneyard Parlay. 5 black, Jesus, that's expensive. For a mythic sorcery that lets you exile up to 5 target creature cards from graveyards, an opponent separates those piles into 2 piles. Put all cards from the pile of your choice onto the battlefield under your control and the rest in your opponent's and your owner's graveyards. There we go. So it's like a Factor Fiction, but for creatures. And it's really expensive. Now, if there's a bunch of fatties in the yard, I mean, we're talking like some big old bomb creatures, yeah, go for this. But it's so expensive. And now this could just be your late game bomb. You know, if you're in a control deck without any actual bombs, but you've killed your opponents, this might be the way to go about it. And it's punish mechanics like this, which are completely heads up as opposed to cards like Factor Fiction. These are a little bit easier to navigate, but still super powerful if it goes off. It's just a little bit too restrictive, I think. It's a 2 for me. It might be better than that. I'm not going to be like crazy to play this one, but it's going to make my deck, that's for sure. Next up, we have Contract Killing. 3 black gets you a sorcery at common, destroys a target creature, and it creates 2 colorless treasures that, of course, you can sacrifice and generate mana of any color to your mana pool. This is solid removal. I mean, it's effectively 3 mana if you think of the treasures you get back as a pseudo discount, in a sense. So I look at this and it's really just like a murder effect at sorcery speed, which is fine for limited. You know, unconditional removal like this is really great. I will always play these cards. This feels like a slower format because of the removal looking like this. So I'm inclined to give this a 2.5. This is a really good, you know, very easy to pick up removal spell for draft if you're in black or if you're playing with seal. Definitely play as many of these as you can. A very, very good card, I think. Next up, we've got Costly Plunder. 1 in a black instant. I'm on board. Common as an additional cast to... Oh, I'm going to get it right one of these days the first time. As an additional cost to cast, Costly Plunder. Wow, that's a tongue twister. Cost to cast, Costly Plunder. sacrifice an artifact or creature and draw two cards. So that's actually not terrible. Now, of course, this is, you know, it's not affecting the board, but if you've got a deck that has, you know, a couple of treasures laying around that you're not making use of, I can see that being okay, and it's not that much of a downside if you're not making use of the treasures off of things like Contract Killing or any of the other cards that create treasures. And drawing cards at instant speed is never bad. I mean, it's just not bad. So maybe if you have a blocker that's about to die and you fire this off, cool. I'm inclined to give this a 2.25. It might be better than that. But just make sure that what you're sacrificing is, you know, going to be worth the upside here. We're not dealing with things like Read the Bones, require life being paid, but we are making a sacrifice here. So I like this card a good bit just for what it's doing. Because, you know, card advantage is always good, but just remember that to affect the board is your primary goal in limited, especially sealed. Draft is a little bit different, so it's a little bit more differently evaluated there, especially if you're in a more controlling type deck. So think of that when you're looking at this card, and just kind of, you know, keep that in mind. Next up, we have Dark Nourishment. 4 and a black gives you an instant at uncommon that deals 3 damage to target creature or player, and you gain 3 life. So this is not Lightning Helix. Or the black one from, I forget what that card was called now all of a sudden. It was from Kaladesh, though. Did the exact same thing. The fact that this can target a player is pretty big. The one from Kaladesh could only target creatures, which gives us some reach at this point. This one is still pretty good removal. The 3 damage will kill most of the non-green creatures. And even a good majority of those green creatures will die to this. It's 5 mana, which is the only downside, but this is still really good reach, really good removal for limited. This is another 2.5 for me. I like playing, even conditional removal like this, you know, pseudo-conditional, I should say, is still very, very powerful. I like the card a lot. Next up, we have Deadeye Tormentor. 2 and a black gets you a human pirate at common, 2/2 with raid. So, of course, when it enters the battlefield and you've attacked this turn, it does a thing. Target opponent discards a card. That's pretty good. 3 mana 2/2s are always playable, so, yeah, 2.25 for me. Solid filler for sure. Next up, we've got the Deadeye Tracker. 1 black gets you a human pirate at rare. It's a 1/1. And you may pay 1 and a black to tap it and exile 2 cards from an opponent's graveyard and Deadeye Explorer explores. Deadeye Tracker explores. Wow. That's not confusing. And of course, Explore allows you to look at the top card of your library. If it's a land, put it into your hand. Otherwise, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature and put that card back on top of your library or put it in your graveyard. So it's kind of like a halfway scry, halfway card draw. This is a whole lot better in Constructed. The fact that it's 2 cards from a graveyard instead of just 1 is really restrictive. I don't know if this is going to cut it in sealed. In an aggressive pirate deck in draft, though, I can see this being a lot better. But this is a 2.25 for me. It just doesn't do enough. And by the time that you actually have the mana to sink into it, I think you have better options at this point. So not super thrilled with 1 mana 1/1s with not a lot of upside. So 2.25 for me, probably better for standard play. Next up, we have the Deathless Ancient. 4 black gets you a Vampire Knight at uncommon. It's a 4/4, and it flies, and you may tap 3 untapped vampires you control to return Deathless Agent from your graveyard to your hand. That's pretty sweet. 6 mana 4/4 flyers are already dragons, and the one that this one can come back? Yeah, I'm on board. And we already have all those cards that generate extra vampire tokens. Seems like a pretty solid playable to me. This is a 2.5 for me. This will kill your opponent quick, and if they can't exile it, and there's not a lot of exile in this set, I'm on board with the Deathless Ancient. Next up, we have Desperate Castaways. 1 and a black human pirate at common, 2/3. Cannot attack unless you control an artifact. You should most always have a treasure if you're playing with pirates. It's almost a guaranteed. And this thing is just a massive body for the price that you're paying. I like this guy a lot. 2.5. It's just an awesome beater, and that 3 toughness is going to be able to block a ton of stuff. Great pirate here for limited. Moving right along to the Dire Fleet Hoarder. 1 in a black gets you a 2/1 human pirate that at common, and when it dies, create a colorless treasure artifact. Again, there are your artifacts for the tracker. Oh no, castaways, there we go. This thing's solid. It's a 2/1 for 2. You know, it's respectable, you know, pseudo, almost bare stats. I will always play cards like this. They will trade. You will get value out of them. 2.25 for me, maybe a little bit better if their treasures actually prove to be better than I'm thinking they are. And I'm going to find out this weekend at the pre-release. I'm super excited for that. I hope you guys are too. Super powerful card right here, especially at common. Again, 2.25 for me. Next up, we have the Dire Fleet Interloper. I wonder how many fleets there are. Like, do they all have their own captain and a ship? I mean, there's a bit, like, a fleet is a big collection of ships, right? Like, a fleet is a lot of ships. So, anyway. This is a 3 and a black human pirate at common. It's a 2-2. It's a menace. And when it enters battlefield, it explores. Again, how good Explorer is, I truly don't know just yet. In 17 or 18 possibly land decks in limited, this is going to draw that land a lot of times. And at that point, it's just a 2-2. I really don't know what to make of the explore mechanic just yet. I do need to play with it. It's interesting for sure. And as such, I'm giving it a 2.25 for me. 4-mana 2-2s with menace. Just, it's not super exciting. And if I could guarantee to make it a 3-3 every time, then we're in business. But since I can't really control that, well, it's just a 2 for me, unfortunately. Just filler, and not very good filler at that. Next up, the Dire Fleet Ravager. This guy. 3BB is a mythic orc pirate wizard. Best creature type ever. It's a 4-4. It has menace and death touch. When it enters the battlefield, each player, not target player, each. We missed this when we were first talking about this card in our chats, and my god, this is a drawback. Each player loses a third of his or her life rounded up. Wow. I'm putting a hard pass on this thing. Like, I'm not going to give it a 1. I don't want to touch this. Only the most aggressive draft decks will want to have this. And even then, on turn 5, if you've been beating down consistently, the damage that you're doing to your opponent just isn't going to be that much realistically. I mean, a third of their life isn't a whole lot if you've been consistently putting pressure on them. Yes, it has menace. Yes, it has death touch. But you need to have some backed up life gain to keep this thing without from killing you. I don't know. I don't like this guy at all. Just, it reminds me of Erebos's Titan from Theros Block. Fancy, does some cool things, but just in the long run just isn't worth the slot. There are better 5-drops in this set that aren't going to kill you. Hard pass, not worth a grade for me. Next up, we've got a returning favorite. How long has it been since Duress has been in Standard? Too damn long, I think. A single black mana gets you a sorcery. You know what it does. It's common. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You may choose a non-creature, non-land card from it, and they discard it. Bread and butter, people. This is a sideboard card, obviously. Maybe if you're playing Two-Headed Giant or you're drafting and you saw a lot of, you know, non-creature spells going on that are worth taking and you're in black, I can see this being main deckable, but for the most part, and, you know, pretty much throughout all of Magic history, Duress has always been left in the sideboard. So that's where it needs to stay, I think, for limited play. Obviously constructed, standard, much, much better, modern, you know, do your thing. Next up, we have the Fathom Fleet Captain. A single black and 1 gets you a rare human pirate to 2-1 with menace. Whenever it attacks, if you control another non-token, that's important, non-token pirate, you may pay 2 generic mana and create another 2-2 black pirate creature token with menace. So this is an army in a can right here. And of course, if you play this, you're playing with other pirates, of course. So you're going to be making lots of pirates who have menace. And if you have the mana to back it up, by a god, go crazy with this guy. He's a 2.5 for me, honestly. This guy could be even almost a 3 if it's really that good. The only downside is having to pay the mana every single turn, but of course you need to be able to do that, otherwise this card's just broken. But in the early turns, I'm not sure you're going to have the excess mana to be doing this. Probably, if there's a standard pirate deck, this will be at the heart of it, but this card is still very, very, very good for limited play. I like this card a lot. Next up, we have the Fathom Fleet Cutthroat, 3 and a black for a 3/3 human pirate at common. When it enters the battlefield, destroy target creature that an opponent controls that was dealt damage this turn. That's actually pretty easy. A lot of times you will have creatures who were you did a chump attack and your opponent, you know, blocked the guy to save the damage, and you just pop this guy down and kill the guy. So that's really, really good. By the time you're actually able to cast this, something will die. I will almost guarantee that. 2.25 for me, just because there is that drawback. And, you know, top thing in late game is pretty bad. But to kill things on a creature, really good value there. Moving right along, we've got Grim Captain's Call. 2 and a black for a sorcery at uncommon. Return a pirate card from your graveyard to your hand, then do the same for each vampire, or for each four, a vampire, a dinosaur, and a merfolk. This is insane. Now, if you're in black, unfortunately, you're at best getting two of these, a pirate and a vampire, most likely, depending on what you built your deck to look like. But in some cases, you're playing like Rakdos, that's a vampire, a pirate, and a dinosaur. If you're playing green-black, that's a vampire, a pirate, and a merfolk. You see the combinations here. I don't know if there's some wacky five-color deck at play here. I don't know. But this card generates a ton of value. If you can at least hit two creatures off of this, it's already paid itself back. If you hit three or more, you are crushing it at that point. This card is very, very powerful. Incursion like effects like this and limited, very, very good. This is a 2.5 for me. It's effectively going to draw you upwards of two cards, even more if your graveyard is fully stocked. Wow, this card is cool. Next up, we have Heartless Plague. 2 and a black for a sorcery at uncommon. Target opponent discards two cards. But wait, that's just mind rot. Why is it uncommon? Hold on. Raid. If you attack with a creature this turn, create a colorless treasure token. That alone is worth the upgrade right there, people. Mind Rot is always playable and limited. I don't care what format it is, how fast it is. Mind Rot is always playable. 2.25 for me. The treasure upside's just gravy. If you've been aggressive in your pirate deck or your vampire deck or whatever you're doing, and you're forcing your opponent to discard cards after the point, yeah. Super, super good card here. 2.25 for me. Excellent, excellent Mind Rot variant. Next up, we have the Kite Sail Freebooter. What is a freebooter? Is it a person who has free boots? I don't know. Pirate talk, people. 1 and a black gets you a uncommon 1/2 human pirate flying that winners in the battlefield. You may look at opponents, or target opponents, reveals their hand, and you may choose a non-creature, non-land card from it and exile it until the freebooter leaves the battlefield. So it's kind of like the black-white artifact zombie, whose name I've forgotten all of a sudden. It's effectively like that. And it has flying, it's going to enable raid, it's got disruption. This card's really, really cool. It's just a little bit too small, I think. And the problem you're going to run into is that not a lot of decks are going to have a mass quantity of spells to actually take. Unless you're playing draft, someone's playing like a more controlish type that has a lot of removal spells in it. So I can't guarantee this is going to hit, but it's still a 1/2 flyer on the early turns to enable raid. So it's a little bit better there. I'm betting this thing is going to see some play in some kind of pirate deck, though, whether it's going to be, you know, Grixis or blue, white, or black, blue, or whatever it's going to be. This card does have a lot of potential, though. But for the time being, I think it's just a 2 for me, limited. Moving right along, we have our first ever Chupacabra in Magic. Yes! Live to see the day, people. Don't let your dreams stay dreams. Lurking Chupacabra is a 3 and a black beast horror at uncommon. It's a 2/3. Whenever a creature you control explores, target creature an opponent controls gets -2/-2 until the end of turn. This is pretty insane. Now, the only downside to this is that there's only a minor amount of Explore in black. All of the colors have Explore to some degree. Black, I believe, has the lowest amount next to red. So you're going to have to put this in a deck that can actually power this out quite often to make it relevant. As it stands by itself, a 2/3 for 4 isn't all that great stats, but if you have the cards to back this guy up, it's not terrible. And at that, it's a 2.25 for me. Next up, we have March of the Drowned. What drowns made you? What's crap? Anyway, it's Game of Thrones references. I'm sorry. What is dead never truly may die? Single black sorcery at common. Choose one. Return target creature from your graveyard to your hand, or return two target pirates from your graveyard to your hand. This will be a sideboard card if you are playing this in standard in a pirate deck. This is a build around me for sure, and a sideboard card regardless of what it is. You need the single creature is decent. Putting it back in your hand is, you know, very good. It's effectively cycling for a creature that's already been killed or discarded. To get pirates back, though, is much, much better. At that point, it might be main deckable in a pirate draft deck. I don't quite know just yet, but this card does feel very powerful. For the time being, though, sideboard and a build around me for me. Next up, we have Mark of the Vampire. 3 and a black gets you an enchantment aura at common. Enchants a creature, gives it +2/+2, and a lifelink. That's not terrible. Why is it 4 mana, though? Jesus. 2.25 for me. Beware of bounce spells. That's all I'm going to say. You know the drill. Next up, we've got the Queen's Agent. 5 and a black gets you a Vampire Scout at common. Lifelink 3/3, and it explores. You've already heard me say this spiel a whole bunch of times. I don't know how good Explorer is, and 6 mana 4/4 is the best that have lifelink. That's still pretty solid, though. This is a 2 for me, though. Probably a 2.25 if I'm being really honest. I will always play this in my Vampire deck, just have a top end of the curve. And if I hit with the Explorer, it's all gravy, baby. Moving on. Queen's Bay Soldier. Not an agent, a Bay Soldier. 1 in a black gets to a Vampire Soldier at common. It's a 2/2. And that's all she wrote. Bears are playable. 2.25 for me, baby. Moving right along. Raider's Wake is a 3 in a black enchantment at uncommon. Whenever an opponent discards a card, that player loses 2 life. Raid at the beginning of your end step. If you attack with a creature this turn, target opponent discards a card. This is slow burn. Kind of like a slow ride. Take it easy. I actually like this card, surprisingly. You need to be aggressive to take advantage of it. But with the combination of menace and flying, whether you're maybe in blue-black or black-red or black-white, you know, whatever black-based deck you're playing this in, you can probably take advantage of it and have your opponent discard the cards and, you know, just have that extra angle of attack on both their life total and their hand. That's pretty solid. So I like this card. I'm going to play with this card. It might not be as good as I think it is, but 2.25 for me, pretty solid playable here. Next up, we have another janky alternate win condition card, Revel in Riches. 4 and a black for an enchantment at rare. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, create a Colossal Treasure artifact token. It does the mana, the Lotus Petal thing. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 10 or more treasures, you win the game. Something to do with all those extra treasures you got laying around. Because I don't know if you're going to need them, but if you got this, by God, go for it. This is a build around me for sure in draft. If you have it in sealed, make sure you have enough treasure generators to actually do something with this. Otherwise, it's going to sit there on the board and, well, not really do anything. but if you do pull this off, please, by all means, send me a picture. Tweet it at me at EOT Newsflash or send it over to the Facebook page at EOT Newsflash. I want to see a win with this so bad. I want to try it. I want you guys to do it too. Show me the proof and win a prize or something. I don't know. Build around me though. Next up, we have Orc Confidant. I mean, Ruin Raider. 2 in a black gets you an Orc Pirate at rare. It's a 3/2 with raid. At the beginning of your end step, if you attack to the creature this turn, do the Dark Confidant thing. Reveal the top card of your library, lose life equal to its converted mana cost, and put it into your hand. 2.5. This thing's insane. This probably will see a lot of standard play. If it had menace, my God, this thing's really powerful. But as it is, I like this guy a lot. It's going to draw you at least a card or two before somebody kills it, because as we all know, Dark Confidants are really powerful, and even bad ones can be pretty good. Moving right along, we've got the Ruthless Knave. There he is. Oh, don't go too far down. There we go. 2 in a black gets you a 3/2 Orc Pirate at uncommon. Pay 2 in a black to sacrifice a creature and create 2 Cullis Hedger tokens. So that's pretty sweet. I'm not terribly impressed with this guy, but if you have a lot of token generators, this might be the way to go about it. If you have Rebel with Riches in the same deck, and there's your combo. You put two and two together. Without Rebel and Riches, I don't know what the treasure payoff actually is going to be. Like I've already previously stated with the blue card side of the review, there might be a way to force into a three-color pirate deck, whether it's black, you know, splashing, obviously, blue or red or black, whatever it's going to be. I just don't know if there's enough support for that or enough reason to do that. But it is a deck that I do want to actually try playing. So definitely try this thing out. If you think, you know, that you can pull off the three-color pirate deck because it has just a small splash because you have treasures, go for it. 2.25 for me. It might be better than that. I just don't know yet. But the body's still insanely good. 3 mana for a 3/2. Always good value right there. Moving right along, we've got the Sanctum Seeker. This bad boy. Oof. 2BB gets you a Vampire Knight at rare. It's a 3/4. Whenever a vampire you control attacks, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. Quick side note for all you 2-headed giant fans out there, that counts twice. I like this guy. If he's the top of your curve in your aggressive vampire decks, possibly also in standard, you start swinging a lot. This is a massive lifeline, and this paired up with the Grey Merchant of Asphodel-esque vampire is really scary, and I think this can also see some standard play. Well, who knows? This is a 3 for me, though. The 4 toughness is impossible to kill this thing by blocking us by the biggest red and green creature, so this guy's insane. I gave it a 3, and that's saying something. I like this guy a lot. Next up, we have Seeker's Squire. 1BB for a 1/2 that explores when it enters the battlefield. 2 mana 1/2s. No thanks. At best, a 2/3. I'm sorry. I have zero interest in playing this card. It is bare filler at that, and it's terrible filler at that too. Anyway, moving on. Skittering Heartstopper. 1BB gets you an instant at common. I think this thing's been printed before. I could be wrong. Feels like a Zendikar card, but anyway. It's common. It's an insect. 1/2. You may pay a black and give it death touch until the end of turn. Have fun blocking this thing. I mean, play it on one. I'm not afraid to start swinging with this guy. I give it a 2.5, and that might be a little bit crazy, but this guy's insanely dangerous. If you have any kind of pump effects or just any way to get this guy through and just keep attacking, I mean, eventually your opponent's going to block it, and you shouldn't have killed her if they block it with, so sweet. It's probably not worth the 2.5, but this guy's pretty scary, though. I like him a lot. He's giant, too. That's a terrifyingly large bug. This is Jumanji, people. Ixalan is Jumanji. Holy cow. Next up, we've got Skullduggery. There is a really bad movie from the 80s called Skullduggery. Check it out if you want to really question what's going on in your life. Single black mana for an instant at common. Until the end of turn, target creature you control gets +1/+1, and target creature an opponent controls gets -1/-1. I like combat tricks like this. This is super... this is super tricky to play around. It's a 2.25 for me just because the swing isn't huge, but when the swing is enough to kill the thing, awesome. You know, for lifelink especially, awesome. So if you're playing against a black deck, keep in mind that this is a common and will very likely blow you out at least once, and you've only got to have it happen to you once before you learn your lesson. Enough said. Moving right along to the Skymarch Bloodletter. 2BB to a common vampire. 2/2. It flies when it enters battlefield. Opponent loses a life and you gain a life. Sweet. 2.5 for me. This is a 2-power flyer in black. Sign me up. And it's a vampire. It's going to enable my raid triggers. Yeah, I'm on board with this guy. 2.5 for me. Card's great. Spreading Rot is next. 4BB sorcery at common. Destroys target land. Its controller loses 2 life. This is a sideboard card, plain and simple. If your opponent has any one of the 6 legendary lands, I believe, then board it in and then blow it up because those lands get dangerously out of control. We're going to see another one here in red here in just a minute. Yeah, sideboard only, though. Moving right along, sideboard diplomacy. Tune a black for a sorcery at rare. Reveal the top 3 cards of your library. For each one of those cards, put that card into your hand unless any opponent pays 3 life. Then exile the rest. This is interesting. This is a Punisher mechanic where your opponent is getting a choice, and typically cards like this have been, well, not very good in past formats, but this one I think can get there. Your opponent might give up 3, might give up 6, not 9 life though. There's no way that they'll give up 9 life. So I can imagine this will at least draw you 1 card, depending on what's the quality and the contents of the 3 cards. That's where this thing gets a little bit awkward, but it's a 2.5 for me. This is a powerful effect, and I think if using the right deck, especially an aggressive deck, your opponent has to think twice about taking that life or giving you a card. Pretty solid stuff here. I like it. Next up, we have Vanquish the Weak. Tuna black at instant at common. Destroy target creature with power 3 or less. There's enough of those in this set that you want this in every black deck you play. This is a 3. Simple stuff right there. Next up, Vicious Conquistador. Single black into a Vampire Soldier at uncommon. It's a 1/2. Whenever it attacks, each opponent loses 1 life. Again, to a giant fans, that counts twice. I only said that because I'm playing my in a 2 of the giant periods this weekend, and I'm super excited. Anyway, this is insane in aggressive black draft decks, because you know just the 1 point damage over turns, a couple turns, will get there eventually. I like this as a 2.5 for me. It might not be that good, but that's an insane value right there, so I like him. Next up, we've got Vraska's Contempt. 2 black, instant at rare, exile circuit creature or planeswalker, and you gain 2 life. Again, uncontested black removal will always be playable. This is a solid 3, probably a 3.5 for me because it kills planeswalkers. To me, this is what Hero's Downfall should have always been. 4 mana, instant speed, have a little bit of extra effect on there, I don't care, but Downfall was good, but a little too good if you ask me, but this card's very good. Next up, we've got Walk the Plank, a 2 black sorcery at uncommon, destroys target non-merfolk creature. I'm going to main deck this bad boy. I don't care. This is a 3 for me. This will kill something. I guarantee it. Simple enough. Next up, we have Wanted Scoundrels. 1 in a black for an uncommon human pirate, 4/3. And when it dies, target opponent gets 2 colorless treasure tokens. This is going to take down a couple of guys or a couple points of damage on your opponent, maybe upwards of 8, 12 if you're lucky, before your opponent gets those treasures. But at that point, you need to be careful. So if you're playing this in a draft deck, it's probably where it's best at. For sealed, I might avoid this just because, you know, board gets clogged up and any extra mana an opponent can have is always good. So I can better in draft, but at that's a 4/3 for 2. I mean, we're talking Tarmogoyf stats here, people. 2.5 for me. Real solid. And let's move right along. Let's get to some red cards. There are some doozies in red, that's for sure. My goodness. First up, we have Ongras Marauders. 5 red for a human pirate at rare, 4/4. If a source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals double that damage to that permanent or player instead. Yowza! This is a 2.25 for me, and it's pretty simple. 7 mana in a red deck. By the time this comes down, the game is probably over. If this comes down and you swing, the game is probably over. 2.25 for me. It might be a little bit better than that if this format is a bit slower, which a lot of these cards are looking like it might be, but you can never really tell until you actually sit down and play the format. But yeah, this thing's pretty insane. Furnace of Wrath is the card that this is referencing, so pretty insane here. Next up, we have Bonded Horncrest. 3 in a red for an uncommon dinosaur. It's a 5/5 that can't attack or block alone. You will hate to top deck this on an empty board. That being said, though, at 4 mana, that's some pretty impressive stats, and most things can't kill this guy. So If you got guys around to attack with it, by all means, crash into the red zone. But it's just a 2.25 for me. There's enough downside here to make me kind of be a little bit worried about it. Next up, we've got the Brazen Buccaneers. 3 and a red for a human pirate at common. Haste, 2-2, and it also explores. What I've said about other colors for explore does not hold true here. For red aggressive draft decks, I think this thing's actually pretty insane. If you're playing like a 16 land deck and this is the high point on your curve, this is already a 4-mana 3-3 with haste at common. You know, Hill Giant stats with the potential to kind of get some scry action going. 2.25 for me. It's filler, but it's pretty damn good filler in this specific deck, like I said, in a low lane count, aggressive red draft deck. I'm a fan of this one a lot. Next up, we've got the Burning Sun's Avatar. 3 and 3 red mana gets you a dinosaur avatar at rare, 6/6. When it enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target creature and 3 damage to target opponent. Oomph! This is going to kill a lot of stuff. I can guarantee you that. And it's going to kill your opponent too, probably in very short order. This one gets a 3 for me. This card's really insane. And the promo art for this for the top 8 game days, whew, not bad either. Next up, we have the fantastic Captain Lannery Storm. I believe this is a woman, and that's awesome. Lady pirates are cool. 2 and a red gets you a legendary creature, human pirate at rare. She's a 2-2 with haste, and when she attacks, you gain a treasure token, and you can sacrifice it, or whenever you sacrifice a treasure, she gets +1/+0 to the end of turn. If she had first strike, she'd be a whole lot better. Just being a 2-2... 3-2 at best, still pretty good, 2.5 for me, especially recursive treasure making. Really, really cool stuff here. 2.5 for me, probably better in standard, but we'll definitely get some damage in limited. Next up, we've got Captivating Crew. 3 in red for a creature, human pirate at rare, 4/3. You may pay 3 in a red to gain control of target creature as an opponent controls until the end of turn. Untap it and it gains haste. You may only activate this anytime you can cast a sorcery. Kill this on sight if you can. Otherwise, you will lose to this. I am happy to untap main phase, take your guy, and attack with your guy. If I have some of the sack effects, oh, even better. My God, this is going to be a nightmare to play against. Kill on sight, play this guy, first pick. This is a 3.5 for me, about as close to a 4 at rare that you can possibly get. You can at least kill with Lightning Strike. Moving right along, we've got Charging Monstrosaur. I've seen this guy before. 4 in a red, uncommon, dinosaur, 5/5, trample, and haste. That's Reality Smasher on dinosaur. This thing is absurd. This will see standard play of some kind in some kind of dinosaur deck. This will kill you in limited games. I guarantee that. This is a 2.5 for me. This guy is insane. Probably on par with the best uncommons ever printed in, you know, recent sets. Feels like a Cloud Goat Ranger. This guy is absurd. Reality Smasher, Monstrosaur, 2.5, maybe even a 3. Watch out for this guy. Next up, we have Demolish, a classic red spell that we just keep having to reprint. 3 in red for a sorcery at common. Destroy target artifact or land. Sideboard it. You know the drill. Next up, Dinosaur Stampede. 2 in a red instant at uncommon, attacking creatures you control. Get +2/+0 until the end of turn, and dinosaurs gain trample. You will lose to this. I guarantee it. You will lose to this. Being instant speed is terrifying. This is just the red overrun. I don't care if it doesn't pump their toughness. It doesn't need to. You will lose to this. 2.5. Next up, we've got Dual Shot. A single red mana gets you an instant at common. It deals 1 damage to each of up to 2 target creatures. There are not enough X1s in this set to warrant main decking this. Now that being said, there are a whole bunch of big old scary dinosaurs that like to get poked and enraged. And I think that's where this card actually comes into play, my perspective at least. I will gladly enrage my own creatures with this on my opponent's end step to get some value and then go to town on them. I think that's where this belongs, but if you don't have that, this is a two. It's iffy. You know, post-combat tricks, sure, but yeah, iffy for me. Next up, we have got Fathom Fleet Firebrand. I do love alliteration. I adore it, even. One in a red for a human pirate at common, 2/2, and it has bad fire breathing, aka one in a red. Fire breathing bears are good. 2.25 for me. Nothing to say about this guy other than play it. He's good. Next up, we have Fiery Cannonade. 2 in a red for an instant at uncommon, deals 2 damage to each non-pirate creature. This is scary. Sideboard this bad boy. This possibly might be constructed playable, standard at least, in pirate decks in their sideboards. If you're playing, it's possibly like a red deck, you know, like a mono red, Ramanop red. This is a pretty decent board up at instant speed. Kozlik to turn anybody? Not quite, but good enough. Definitely sideboard this in limited, though. There aren't enough creatures that this does kill to warrant it, but against the decks that you want it, this will be really good. And when it's going to be good, it will be backbreaking for your opponent. So keep an eye out for this one. Next up, we've got the Fire Shrine Keeper, another one of our 1-mana, 8 activating mana cost guys. 1 red mana gets you an elemental at common, 1/1 with menace. You may pay 7 and a red, tap it and sack it, and deal 3 damage to up to 2 target creatures. It can't go to the face. I'm not interested. Not even a 1. Pass. Next up, we've got Fire Cannon Blast. 1 red, red for a sorcery at common, deals 3 damage to target creature, and when red is enabled, it deals 6 instead. This will kill all but the biggest, and I do mean the biggest, dinosaurs in green. So I'm not sure about playing this card. This is how you kill a lot of dudes. 2.5 for me. Awesome red playable. If it hit face, even better. Next up, we've got the Frenzied Raptor. 2 and a red for a dinosaur at common. It's a 4/2. And nothing else. This will take down a number of creatures. Unfortunately, the toughness does hurt it a little bit because at that point it will get chump blocked easily. But this is going to kill something. I can guarantee that. 2.25 for me. Not bad at all. Next up, we have got the Headstrong Brute. 2 in a red gets you an Orc Pirate at common, 3/3. It can't block, and it has menace as long as you control another pirate. So 3 mana, 3/3 is pretty solid. The drawback there is a little bit awkward, but this will be going in a pirate deck ideally. 2.25 for me, pretty solid. Next up, we've got Hijack, a returning favorite from Kaladesh. You will lose to this if you're playing a bunch of artifacts. Namely the vehicles, but whatever. 1 red sorcery at common, gain control of target artifact or creature, untap it, and it gains haste. Again, these are more of those theft effects, and they're dangerous in a great aggressive red deck. 2.25 for me. Again, this is going to be at its best in an aggressive, low-to-the-ground red deck. That's where we're going to want this, especially with the captivating crew. Screw that creature. Next up, a returning favorite, and it's about damn time they reprinted this, Wizards. Jesus. Lightning Strike is back, finally. 1 in a red, uncommon, 3 damage to the face or a creature. It's a 3. It's awesome. Moving on. Lightning Rig Crew. I like this guy. 2 in a red for a Goblin Pirate at uncommon. It's a 0/5. You can tap it to deal 1 damage to each opponent. And again, to the giant. That counts twice. And whenever you cast a pirate spell, untap it. This reminds me a lot of the red creature from Battle for Zendikar that was the Eldrazi version of this. Good for red-based control decks or, you know, any kind of red mid-range deck or pirate decks. This card is really cool. It will block forever and eventually kill your opponent. Pretty sweet. Next up, we have Makeshift Munitions. 1 in a red for an enchantment at uncommon. You may pay a red and sacrifice an artifact or creature, and it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. Then this is where you're going to use those hijacks and those captivating creatures you've stolen. Pretty sweet. Next up, oh, I should want to give it a grade. Build around me. But as long as you have the cards to back it up, not terrible. I don't know if I would just put this in any red deck. Questionable at best. Next up, Nest Robber. One and a red for a dinosaur at common with haste. And it's a 2-1. It's perfectly aggressive. Perfectly playable. 2.25. Not bad at all. Next up, we've got the Otepec Huntmaster. One and a red for a uncommon human shaman 1-2 that makes your dinosaur spells you cast cost one generic mana less to cast. And you can tap it and give a dinosaur haste until the end of turn. This will never attack. I guarantee you that. But it's good for drafting a dinosaur deck, or if you have it in sealed and a lot of dinosaurs, yeah, go for it. 2.25 for me. Not terrible. Next up, I don't like this card. This card is scary. Rampaging Ferocidon. 2 and a red for a rare dinosaur. 3-3 with menace. Players can't gain life, and whenever another creature enters the battlefield, Raging Ferocidon deals 1 damage to that creature's controller. Hate cards. Hate cards. My god, this guy's scary. This is a 3. This guy is insanely powerful. In aggressive red decks, if this is the top end of your curve, probably even standard playable. Jeez. Terrifying. Next up, we have the Raptor Hatchling. What a cute little guy. 1 and a red for an uncommon dinosaur. 1-1 at Enrage. It creates a 3-3 green dinosaur creature token with trample. I would love to pump this up and then block something and get a nice little value boost out of it. Super good. 2.5 for me. I will gladly get 2-for-1s on my own creatures all day long. Super good card. Next up, we've got Repeating Barrage. 1 and a 1 red for a sorcery at rare. Repeating Barrage deals 3 damage to target creature or player, and if you raided this turn by attacking with a creature, you may pay 3 red and return it from your graveyard to your hand. Only do this if you attack the creature, obviously. Hey, and it doesn't say it has to be a done at sorcery speed either, so that's pretty good too. Yeah, this card's great. Just flat out good. 2.5 for me. It's solid removal, and it's repeatable removal, and it's reach too. So yeah, kill your opponents with this. Suicide your creatures in and go to town. Next up, we've got Rigging Runner. 1 single red gets you a Goblin Pirate. 1-1 first strike, and it has raid. It enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter if you've attacked this turn. 1 mana, 2/2 first strikers. Holy crap. 2.5. Insanely good value here. Love it. Next up, we have Ryle. 1 single red at sorcery speed. Common, because it couldn't be instant, because that's not fair. Deals 1 damage to target creature you control. That creature gains trample till the end of turn and draws a card. Get it? You rile up the dinosaur. It gets a little angry. And it thrashes around. Yeah. Build around me. If you have the enraged card to go with it, by all means, go crazy with it. Just build around it, though. Next up, we've got the Rowdy Crew. 2 red gets you a mythic human pirate with trample. It's a 3-3. When it enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards. Sign me up. Then discard 2 cards. No, don't sign me up. At random. Wow, take me off the mailing list too. If 2 cards that share a card type are discarded, put 2+1/+1 counters on it. Yeah, I'm... Well, okay, so... This card's actually not terrible. In limited, because of the high density of both lands and creature spells, you have a pretty good shot of actually hitting those +1/+1 counters. Just be careful about how you actually use this. It's a 2.5. Even 4 mana tramplers are fine. It's still a hill giant with upside. It's a 2.5. I just don't like discarding cards at random. That's all. Next up, we've got Rummaging Goblin. 2 and a red for a Goblin Rogue at common. Taps to discard a card and draw a card. It's a 1-1. I like a good reverse looting. You know, sometimes you got extra lands in your hand that you just don't need anymore. Pitch him. Draw a card. He's a 2 for me just because it's really rough to reverse loot the rummage set, what they call this, and the body just isn't all that relevant. It's iffy. I don't know if I'm going to be playing it in my red decks, but there's probably space for it in a lot of them, though. Yeah. Moving on, we have the Star of Extinction. 5 red for a sorcery mythic rare. Destroy target land. And then Star of Extinction deals 20 damage to each creature and each planeswalker. Hour of Devastation, this is not. But still pretty insane. There's a funny article over on Channel Fireball when their resident mathematician, Frank Karsten, looks at this card and goes, how much damage should a star actually do when it hit the battlefield? 20 is not enough. Try 100,000 damage. Is that so much to ask? I don't think so. If you need a board wipe, though, absolutely. But 7 mana, though, that's rough. This is a 2 for me. You need to be playing a more controlling mid-range deck to actually take advantage of this. And, you know, just make sure the board's clear on your side before you actually cast this because, well, everything's going to die. Moving right along, we've got the Stormfleet Arsonist. Ah, yes, the Stormfleet guys. Bunch of jerks. 4 red gets you an Orc Pirate at uncommon 4/4 with raid. When it enters the battlefield, and if you've attacked with a creature this turn, opponent sacrifices a permanent. The body's fine. 5 mana 4/4s are totally playable, and it just having upside is even better. But your opponent having the option to sacrifice what they want, that's not so great. But still, 2.25 for me, solid playable here. Next up, we have the Stormfleet Pyromancer. They have a whole, you know, class system on the Stormfleet, as they do with the Dire Fleet, the Dread Fleet, and all the other fleets in the sea. 4 red, again, gives you a human pirate wizard at common, 3/2, when it enters battlefield. If you are raided this turn, it deals 2 damage to target creature or player. That's not terrible. It's going to finish something off eventually, right? 2.25 for me, again. It's a little bit too high on the curve for my taste, but being able to hit the face, even if you don't need to kill something at the same time with the raid trigger, still pretty solid here. 2.25 for me. Next up, we have the Sun-Crowned Hunters. Dear God. Common Dinosaur, 5/4. Enrage, when it dealt damage, it deals 3 damage to target creature. This will eat everything. Even the art. This is terrifying. If you do have the Ryle cards or the dual shot, yes, use this. Clear out your opponent's creatures and just kill them with it. This thing is scary as all hell. 6 mana is a lot, but who cares? This will end games very quickly. 2.5 for me. Next up, we've got the Sunbird's Invocation. 5 red for an enchantment at rare. Whenever you cast a spell from your hand, reveal the top X cards of your library, where X is that spell's converted mana cost. You may cast a spell revealed this way with converted mana cost X or less without paying its mana cost. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any random order. Build around this in draft. Absolutely draft this. In sealed, I don't know if you can get away with this. Conversely, play it in standard. Play with Approach of the Second Sun when the game on the spot. Next up, we have Sure Strike. 1 red gets you an instant common, gives a target creature +3/+0, and gives it first strike until the end of turn. That's enough to kill most things, I bet. Sweet combat trick, 2.25 from me, moving right along to Swashbuckling. Because we're pirates, right? You have to have a Swashbuckling card. 1 red gets you an enchantment aura, common, enchants a creature, gives it haste, +2/+2. Again, hope it doesn't get bounced, but still, that's a big boost right there. Moving right along, Thrash of Raptors. That sounds like some kind of like 80s punk band. I love it. 3 red gets you a 3/3 common dinosaur. As long as you control another dinosaur, it gets +2/+0 and trample. Oof. 2.5 for me. This should always be a 5/3 with trample. Always. And if it's not, bad times. Next up, we have Teolani's Knight. 1 red gets you a human knight common 2/2. Whenever it attacks, if you control a dinosaur, it gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. 2/2s with upside. Not bad. 2.25 for me. Great filler. Awesome card. Next up, Teolani's Skin Shifter. Whoever this Teolani chick is, or person is, she's got some cool people hanging out with her. 2 red gets you a human shaman rare at with haste. It's 0/1. Whenever it attacks, it becomes a copy of another target non-legendary attacking creature until the end of turn. No. Don't play this. Card is bad. I'm pretty sure it's bad. Unless you've got some other, you know, relatively big-sized creatures, yeah, go for it. I'm not impressed with it, that's for sure. It's a 1.5 for me. I might be undervaluing it. We'll have to see. Next up, we have got... Yep, there we go. Trove of Temptation. 3 and a red for an enchantment at uncommon. Each opponent must attack you or a planeswalker you control with at least one creature each combat, if able. At the beginning of your end step, create a colorless treasure token. This is dangerous. I would not play this in sealed. Not at all. Draft this and be extra careful. Even then, I don't know if this goes in a decent red aggressive deck or some kind of red mid-range deck with enough guys to block with. It might be better in like green-red dinosaurs where there's enough big bodies to block with. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, this feels like a build around me, and I'm still, you know, a little bit hesitant to even do with that. So try it out at your own risk. Don't say I didn't tell you. Next up, Unfriendly Fire. 4 and a red gets you a common instant. Unfriendly Fire deals 4 damage to target creature or player. Yes! Play this. Play this. It's got reach. It's perfect for limited. That's about all I can say. 2.25 for me. This will kill a lot of things. It'll also kill your opponent pretty quick. Next up, Wily Goblin. Not black, black either. Red, red. Gives you a Goblin Pirate, uncommon, at with 1/1. When it enters the battlefield, create a treasure. What is the point of this card? I don't understand. This card's terrible. It's a 1. Maybe I'm missing something here. This card sucks. Anyway. And our very last red card, we're going to go back to the double face cards and go down to Vance's Blasting Cannons. Who Vance's? I don't know. He's a pirate, and that's all right by me. Legendary enchantment at rare, 3 to red. Beginning of your upkeep, exile the top card of your library. If it's a non-land card, you may cast that card this turn. Whenever you cast your third spell in a turn, doesn't have to be on your turn, you may transform Vance's Blasting Cannon to do something truly terrifying. Spitfire Bastion. Adds a red mana to legendary land, or you can pay 2 and a red and tap it. Spitfire Bastion deals 3 damage to target creature or player. So help you if this flips against you. You're probably going to die in short order. That's all I'm going to say about that. This card is an absolute... This will see standard play. I can guarantee you that in some capacity, I'm sure. It's a little bit trickier in limited because 3 spells in a turn is no easy feat. Draft decks, most definitely. In sealed, you might be able to get away with it if you have a massive of lands and enough cheap spells to trigger this. Once you do, though, the game is on a very short clock for your opponent or you, God forbid, if it's flipped against you. So build around it and just make sure that you can actually fulfill the conditions for it. And there you go. And that's it. That's the black cards. That's the red cards. That just leaves the green, the gold, the artifacts, and the lands. We'll do all those tomorrow to get you guys ready for the Ixalan pre-release. I hope you guys are going to blow play in one. If you've got a favorite card so far, let me know down in the comments. Let me know what you think about Ixalan, the set in general, down in the comments. I'm always curious to know. Leave your comments down in the comment section under the video. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe the video and to the channel. You can definitely reach out to me over on Twitter at EOT Newsflash if you have thoughts on the set as well. And feel free to reach out over on Facebook. Just look for the EOT Newsflash. Now, we will be back tomorrow night with a full new episode. We're going to be covering the entire limited sort of environment of Ixalan. I'm going to be looking at the color pairings, the archetypes, and I'm going to hopefully going to have some input from the rest of the team as well. So be on the lookout for that coming this week and the rest of the set review, hopefully going live. I guarantee it'll be live before the pre-release on Friday at midnight or Saturday, whenever you're going. But thanks for watching, guys. This has been the Black and the Red Cards of Ixalan. See you guys next time.